West West, y'all.
Here's Ola. Oh, he's away from one, away from another. Look at this!
Welcome back to another episode of the 135 Footy Show, proudly part of the WizWiz network. You can go check out all our podcasts over at wizwiznet.com. Back again, round 23, and I'm joined by our WizWiz columnist, Simon Armani again. How's it going, bro?
Malo, also, yeah, bro, I've been good, bro. It's been a good week of NRL matches also. It's been really enjoyable, bro, so good to be back, us.
Yeah, nice, Wolf. Yeah, we missed you a few weeks. Had Stacey filling in, so good content, good insights from the Usman. And the he wasn't feeling the love from you for the Warriors last week. Nothing from the Warriors this week. I guess we got the bye, so the Us is having the night off. I think they ran the pod counter ruck last night, mate. So cool, bro. How's your week been, man? Like, what have you seen around the? What's kind of stood out this week so far for the NRL, man?
First and foremost, man, still happy for my Broncos. Traveling well. I think it's always good for a week for me when the Broncos are winning, bro. So not only that, but their performances have been pretty good. So it's good to quieten up some of those haters out there, because people still think we're going to fall off the cliff, eh? But I think, man. I think barring some miraculous wins from the bottom place teams, I think we kind of cemented our eighth spot, and currently tracking at second spot. So
yeah, nice.
We're going to be hard to upset off the top four there also. But I watched an interesting show a couple of nights ago also on 360. Did you catch that one, bro? When these two journos on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about Joseph Suwali.
I saw shorts on that going in on Suwali. What was that about? What were they going in on him?
Oh, this was about this guy. Who I don't mind this guy. His name's Paul Crawley, bro. He's a writer for, I don't know which paper he writes for, but he's a guest.
Queenslander writer.
Nah, I think he's one of these Sydney journos. But he's a regular guest. But I think he, following the weekend's Wallabies smashing from the ABs, up the ABs, the commander must be running out of shit to write about, because he brought up this thing about Swali again, how he's not worth, the Wallabies are regretting. I didn't read it myself. I'm just judging on this episode they had a couple of days ago. Aswali is, had they made a mistake with this big price tag, how he has been not performing this year, blah, blah, blah. And there was another guest on there, bro, called Brent Reed. He's another journalist.
Reedy.
I think he's a Queensland-based journalist. But he started pushing back on him, bro, which was really cool, man. And they almost had not argument, bro, but it was quite funny to see two guys going head to head, just explaining their own views, and then he was just kind of telling him he's all shit, like Swali hasn't had the whole Roosters team's
exactly
hasn't had the best year. And
a couple of weeks ago he ripped up, so I don't know what games that guy's been watching. He's been injured and suspended most of the year.
Hold up, bro. And it just comes down to this thing about the pay packet.
Yeah.
Athletes will get. Over $1 million a year, but it puts them up there between both codes, union and league, as one of the highest paid players. So it's it's easy to fucking start talking about this guy and his performances. But it's one thing to know, bro, that contract doesn't even start till 2025. He's still got another year
for the Roosters. Okay, yeah. He's still there next year.
Yeah. But you know, I don't think you should be too judgmental on Gamalo's side. He probably does not reach 19, the same heights as 19. Probably doesn't hasn't performed like his last year. But look at their team, bro. The whole team hasn't performed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he's in the same boat as Oifoi, the Kiwi centre.
Manu.
Joey Manu.
Yeah, yeah.
And that the outside backs have struggled, bro, to get ball, to struggle. You know, they've really just carted up. They've just acted like front rows. They haven't really had the ball in space because the halves have struggled to get them clean ball. So,
I think you saw it from that game last week, bro. Just not getting their own way, and I think they try to go, you know, bullies in the middle. Like you see the way how Jared was going out for Payne Haas, just trying to be the bullies. And then I think Fali'i we're not getting it our own way. Like just, I think they're used to going out, and then you know players take a backward step, and then that's like cool. Now we got the ascendancy. Tedesco just runs them up.
But Swali'i's had a kind of a. What would you say, like a checkered kind of introduction to the league world, also to the NRL world?
And again, like I think everyone's, you know, expecting him, but it's like, man, like he's like not even 20 yet. There's a lot of footy in him, and it's just, you know, that's IQ as well. People just, you know, they see his talent, but once you get NRL level, you look at all these players, like they
just have a bit of time. And it's almost the downside of being a child superstar, because he was. He was playing for the. Remember, he was a Bunnies junior.
You look at Luke Brooks and all of that pressure, and over the last 11 years, everyone blame him over a whole team. That's probably a good thing, Joe. You know, Swali is going now. Russell would have been year after year of giving him rubbish of like he's $1 million cat, and what's he doing? What's he doing?
Well, this journey kind of just started talking about his past. You know, his intro into the NRL and called him. A mercenary player, whatever the fuck that means. But I kind of got the gist of it, as in like, this guy's just in it for the money.
Yeah, just follow wherever the money. You know? Like, oh, this game, I'll
play here. Because because he made when he was a junior, he made well, not him, but his representative, his agent, made these clauses in his contract.
That he can.
And it was quite. Something like that. That was just.
If he's a superstar, you know, you look at Sonny Bill, people said the same about him. But he went around the
different sports. Time, Bennett was the coach. At the time, Bennett was his coach. And so Bennett was like, nah, we can't sign you on this. So the Roosters went out on a limb and said, oh, man, we'll take you.
Hmm.
And Roosters signed him. And now this guy's saying, oh, he's got no loyalty after the Roosters showed him a bit of loyalty, blah, blah, blah. But... like I've been saying on your show, also like, well, why should they, bro? Like, players don't get loyalty from the clubs.
Exactly.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as you fall out all of a sudden,
where was the Bunnies' loyalty when you know Adam Reynolds wanted another extra year?
Yeah.
You know who's a South's junior? And that's go down as one of the biggest mistakes.
They blame
in Bunnies' history.
Well, they look at Swahili.
He always did for the Bronx.
But your team is based on your halves, and they drop their halves down to the junior grade. Just kick him away and like blame him, but the team's still kaya. And then what? It's like, oh, so Sam Walker's the problem, but now your team's still kaya after you dropped them. Yeah.
So it's the same, I don't know. Like,
they can't have it both ways and then have a cry. And yeah.
I don't know how you can question someone's motive to sign a contract. You know, their family, their money, the security.
That's the thing. These guys, these journos, you know, that's their business, and they keep talking about these kids. That's their business. It's like, that's work. Like, that's the thing. Like, you go where the work is. You go where the best money is.
Exactly.
And they keep going, oh, no, it's for the love of the game. Like, hey, mate, these kids stopped loving the game when they were probably 13 and told, hurry up, get up, get up. Like, it wasn't easy for these kids to be getting to where they are now. Like, so it's not for the love of the game. Yeah, they love playing when they're winning.
But, nah, man.
Yeah, and the love of the game went a long time ago. They love winning in the what they've learnt, but it's business as well.
Yeah.
They know that.
That's
much.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know the kid personally, bro, but he ain't done nothing wrong.
Mm.
You know, and he comes across as quite a a humble guy, you know, and he hasn't got himself into any trouble off the field. In that regard, he's probably, you know, one of Rooster's well-behaved players. What he's been offered from the Wallabies, sort of, it's not this fucking Juno's any pissy-missy, mate.
Yeah.
You know, he's in the same boat if fucking New Zealand Herald offered him fucking $1 million house plus fucking, you know, $1 million contract. No question, he'll jump at that. But, you call someone a mercenary, mate, we all are, bro, because we all want the best for ourselves and our family when it comes to getting the best deal at Yongaruenga, at your job.
Yeah. And especially, you know, their jobs are measured very differently from any other job. Like, you know, they're professionals and they got to get their work right and stuff. But, you know, their job is very much on that result. Like, you can be a journo and write heaps of columns and people will be like, I really like that, and, you know, get all those awards. But you're not beating anyone else. Like, it's just, it's not like you're going out there, you've got a defined set of teams, and at the end of the year, you've got you've got an achievement to do. So as much as...
Don't look at it this way. From the start of the year, say Swali starts playing really bad. Missing tackles, gets dropped, starts playing, had to play New South Wales Cup. And imagine he's been playing New South Cup for since round 5. Then what? You know damn for sure that Roosters will start making moves to try and move this guy on.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's, no one talks about the flip of the coin there where clubs are always, you know, contract don't mean shit, man. People are always trying to move people on when it comes to doing the best for themselves, bro. And clubs look out for themselves. There are clubs that are loyal to certain players, but the players got to back that up as well.
What's the thing? Like, you guys talk like there's not a 30-man squad. It's like, if there was another good guy in the team of that 30, of course they'd be playing. But there ain't nobody else. Like, exactly. They talk like, this kid, like, this kid can go play somewhere else then. If they had someone in that 30 roster, why is that?
They would have been gone.
Exactly.
They would have
kicked them out. They don't care about this kid. It's like, and he's out of form. Like, out of form compared to some other teams. But when he's on, he's on.
His Roosters are quite cutthroat. They're known for that. The assistant coach, he signed for the Storm. Sorry, bro, I forgot his name, but he was a ex-player. He signed for the Storm next year to go be an assistant to Bellamy. Bro, they dropped him straight away.
Yeah.
Well, what about the poor bloke and his family? And, you know,
that's right. Yeah.
Just I don't know the ins and outs of his contract, but you're bang on the money deals. If Swali had another joker
coming on his heels
in reserves, on his heels, they would have said, you know, if you want to go Wallabies, piss off now then, bro. Exactly. We don't need you. Yeah. But yeah, bro, it's just funny, man.
Good pickup. Yeah.
Kind of leads me on to I don't know if you saw the message I sent you, bro, and how true this leaderboard, not the leaderboard, this the ladder is about the halves.
Your window's open and the cat comes in.
Oh, okay.
The cat comes in your window.
Okay. That's my baby's birthday yesterday.
So happy birthday.
Say hi to your uncle.
Big girl
now,
eh? How old is she? 4, 3.
She's 5 now, bro.
Oh, God. Oh, no. But starts next year. Starts in the new year.
Yeah, start next year. Nice. Bro, I gave you that letter.
And those are some of these have just been renewed too. That's quite interesting.
Yeah, so this it was a ladder of 5'8", highest paid 5'8" in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to mention we had a good talk last week about Luai.
Yeah.
And what was interesting to me, bro, is that Whiten is like one of the highest paid, bro. Isn't it like
1.3
mil?
Is this part of his new deal, though?
1.05, like Munster, definitely deserved of that $1 million tag.
Yeah.
But what's interesting to me is that Jack Whiten is here. So his reasons is to chase that ring, because he's willing to give up that massive contract and go be a centre for the Bunnies next year. You look down that list, Luai's 7th, bro, on 680K.
Well, that's why he has to
definitely command long more than that.
Well, yeah. And so I think maybe he's happier. Like, that's the thing. As much as he can go to market, surely there's enough room to wriggle room to get him up to at least 9.
What?
I don't know if he can. Yeah. No, here at the Panthers. Surely they can upgrade him to about 900.
Ooh, I don't know, bro. They're upgrading a lot of contracts in their team. I think for 9 he'll stay, man. But can they fit him at 9, bro? I don't know the ins and outs of what players are being paid over there, bro. But I know I know the prop Fisher Harris is on big money, man. I think he's fucking close to a mil, man. Like 900,000.
Dylan Edwards as well.
Yeah, I saw that one recently. John Schuster.
Schuster's 800K. So that's his new deal to be carry on, but likely to move into an edge or a lock role.
It's a lot of money for a forward.
It would be interesting. Like, I think with who's coaching Manly next year?
Seabold.
Sticking with Seabold. I reckon, man, if he can change, because I guess you look at, as the game changes, things need to change. So, man, if Schuster, like they talk about him needing to get a bit more solid in D, but again, like he could probably change the whole way the game's played. Pretty much running 3 5-8s out there in your field, running amok and just having someone like DCE conducting. DCE can play pretty much right in the middle and have these two just running amok either side.
Payne Haas is another one who's looking for that big payday, eh? We mentioned previously.
But you look at the team today, he'll stay with the Bronx. Bronx got to find the money somehow.
Yeah.
They got to find the money to keep him.
They can find the money, but do you think they're willing to pay $1 million for him?
Why not? Why wouldn't you? Who else would you go for if he goes away?
It just depends who we... And you know what was a big loss for us was me personally, Herbie, man. We lost Herbie.
He's been really good, man. Like, so unassuming when he came into the team. And he's been solid since he arrived. Mm-hmm. Like,
and he's more consistent than Katoni.
That's the thing. Like, Katoni, everyone knew Katoni as he was coming in. A lot of hype. Herbie came on the other side as a... he's been solid every game.
Yeah.
Just consistent, always just running his lines, doing his job.
Surely. Been solid as. I think one saving grace for the Broncos is they've got a pretty good junior system. And Bennett's coming up, mate. Luffy's son. They got a bit of depth there. So, but like again, you know, still unproven, but on potential, they're looking at him to fill that role. So, I don't know, bro. As a Broncos fan, I'd love for him to stay in the team, but not if it means losing more players, eh?
Yeah, I like cutting some of the other.
Yeah, because I'm still not sold on Billy Walters, man. I still think with a really decent quality 9, who's got good service, that we can. And saying that he's been playing well.
I was going to say, he's just been playing. He's just kind of turned the corner because Stace can't stand him. But he's kind of like just
he's cut game down recently, on his
block, last man. Couple of weeks. Like really.
Yeah,
bro. Like, looking like a solid.
So who knows? He might be turning into one of the better 9s in the game. We'll see. but you know, it's just interesting to me, bro. Like, you know, as a blue collar worker, bro, and you look at this and you go, "Fuck, this guy's not worth it. This guy's not worth it." Blah blah blah. But you got to look in the scheme of things, bro. And with this NRL CBA shit, bro, it's peanuts compared to other worldwide sports. Compared to AFL, it's peanuts. Compared to cricket, it's peanuts.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, the stress on the game.
Yeah.
NRL athletes go through a lot more physically. Go through a lot more. It's more intense the sport, bro.
Well, and just the, I struggle to compare it when I look at a game like soccer and just the fanship and the followership. Like, is it still kind of like not a hard game to follow? I guess that's the thing, like, makes it easy to watch. It's kind of not as entertaining. I feel like it's kind of like a long game of just seeing the ball go back and forth. Yeah. I don't know, like, not constantly on the edge of my seat. Maybe it's just what you grow up around. But yeah, I think in terms of the salary caps, yeah, one thing to try and market the game, yeah, like you're saying, like this means nothing. So when you go out to other countries and they see the effort that these guys put themselves through and then look at these salaries, it's real hard to kind of encourage them like this is the future for their kids to play such a hard game at like a, yeah.
Like I look at these salaries and I'm like...
They could get in another sport, yeah.
I feel like saying to my son, do you want to give soccer a go, boy? Yeah,
exactly. Well, yeah, you imagine if some of these kids, like talented guys, were playing, yeah, other codes. Maybe we should bring that in as a section, try and see what codes these guys could actually go play. I think Joey tried to bring that up on the counter, right?
Can I talk about... can I mention one thing, bro? Because it kind of weaves into what we just mentioned. There was a 60-minute program over here, bro. I don't know if it make it over there. But last Sunday, there was a special about Wally Lewis.
Oh, yeah, and, yeah, I saw that, man.
Early onset of dementia.
Yeah, bro, CTE.
Oh, CTE.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know what, man? Man, a lot of these... He's not the first.
Yeah.
He definitely won't be the last, but he's part of that batch of these guys.
Yeah,
you know, it's 50s, 60s, 70s, even the 80s and 90s with this game, even up to the 2000s, because really, we've really only been looking at this.
Yeah, only recently, like probably in the last 5 to 6 years, maybe.
Yeah, we've been monitoring
head flash. Probably 5, 6 years ago, HIA, we were like...
Yeah, bro.
What's the HIA or something else? HIA, yeah, yeah. So it's a very new thing.
So I don't want to dig deep into the CBA because we've talked enough about that. But that's one of the things that the players...
to protect them. Well, yeah, see, these are the things that are important, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a big grey area too. That's a... You know, sports like the NFL have gone through this where they're trying to mitigate like players' ability to you know, make settlements and, you know, to blame them. It's you weigh it up, bro. You're like, you know, you're competing in a sport where you expect, you know, that this is what's going to happen. You're going to, you possibility get injured.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know, I just want to bring it up because... It's sad to see the results of some of these legends of the game, bro, who's put league on the map. And you can't get as big as Wally, man. Wally Lewis, say.
Well, yeah, yeah. And as a hard man of the game. And you look at the game now, and I think it's what they're doing is good. Like, I don't think it's a softening of the game. Like, they're getting a good balance. Yeah, it might slow down the game and the guys milk it. But I think, you know, that's just teething problems. And as they get used to it, like chicken wing, you remember that was like a big deal. And then they kind of figured out how to get it out of the game. So the players are just like every season, they just go through it. But I think it's a learning thing. And I mean, it's probably good. Like this stuff with Wally, you know, it's probably, you know, even for him to come out with it early to educate, you know, and wanting to make sure he gets out there. That's, especially for like a legend like him, you know, it's probably a bit fuckama, especially something like dementia where it can get really bad. So good on him for just bringing the attention to these guys.
It's just going to add to the parents.
For the game, the welfare of their kids when it's like...
I think about now when the kids, I see some kids and my son's under nines team, and then you think to yourself, this guy ain't nine. Fucking looks like he's 16.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, you think what it brings to the kids, like you take them out of these systems, out of those fears of the, you know, maybe the 5-6% of players that might go through this, but all the players that get to play this game and in other sports, like what it brings to the entire life, because what are the alternatives if, especially when families don't know other sports and they kind of move away from these, you know, the sports they know out of fear, but then have no sports. And then where do the kids end up? Oh, let's go hang out with these kids down the road.
Yeah. Case in point back home. I don't know if that's related to the numbers and union, but rugby union participation back home is down, really down.
Yeah, yeah.
Compared to other sports. Basketball's on the up, soccer's on the up.
Well, yeah, and hopefully those numbers are just a transfer of kids to sports and not,
Yeah.
Just leaving the game and doing other stuff because they're not going to sport.
Yeah.
You'd hope that it's just a transition. I don't know if anyone's done the math.
It's a hard thing for us because it's part of the game that we love, especially Islanders. Yeah. Islanders get into this game because it's so natural, the physicality of it. But then when you look at the safety, and if you look at kids that you want to play a game, you almost don't want them to get injured, bro. It's the risk is so big.
And I think it's, how do you make sure that, because I guess the game needs to continue, then how do you make the checking more available to the kids that are part of it? Not just when they get into the NRL, but like, man, Fox, all of these levels, these boys, like, I played Masters on last Sunday and got smacked. Like, I felt like I got beaten up, and I'm only making, like, probably 7 tackles max in the whole game, and I'm sore. Right. You get guys like McKenna, but that's at the top level. But you think Fox and that, you know, these guys are getting seriously injured. But you know what do they say there, doctor? You know, where are the
you think of 10-year career, exactly, man.
You think unless they have something significant that they feel like they need to go do a concussion or go to the A&E, these boys are just going with their mates to go for a drink afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you make sure these kids? So yeah, I think as much as they. And I think that's the big point, like get it in these professionals. I don't want to go to the RLPA stuff, but get it into their contract so that it's already available. So when these kids are coming on through the Fox, you know, they can go to their GP and go, I play footy. Oh, yeah, listen, we got a standard check we do for any good boys playing footy. I'll just do it on you since you're here.
Yeah.
It'll be a good kind of needs to start somewhere. Cool, man. I want to jump to the Dally M's. They've gone behind closed doors, so we don't kind of know who's up there, where the ladder's at the moment. Just trying to go back to what we had last rounds and just trying to see
who they... Yeah, where did it stop? Do you know where it stopped?
The last I can see here is round 12, but I might... Cause, yeah, that's the last I see for Dally M's. Unless we go back a bit more.
I've seen something... I just had a look here. From 22nd of May, I don't know if that was the last time or not, but 22nd of May, I got a top 5.
What do we got there? What's that, mate?
It was Haas on 30 points, Cleary on 27, Grant and then Hines.
Oh, has only got the top 5?
Yeah. Haas, yeah.
Cleary. Yeah, Cleary would have dropped the one.
Judging on that, I think Cleary's would fallen out. Way falling out from that, and Sean Johnson at that time was on 22 points. He was like 10th. He was definitely been coming up.
Yeah, who else was there? Haas, Cleary, Hines,
Grant, Walsh, Latrell, Ben Hunt, Walker, Edwards, Johnson.
Oh,
right. So if I was going to take a pot shot in the dark, I'd say Haas, Grant. Maybe Sean Johnson up there in the top 3?
Oh, really? I'd probably say SJ Edwards and Haas. I haven't really paid much attention to Grant. I think he kind of, after that Orange period, he had a bit of a few issues there too. Just coming back, I think those games, Melbourne struggled. But man, he looked hot.
I think, given the fact that the Broncos have won majority of their games. I think Payne Haas he's always one of the best performers in the team, so he'll definitely be scoring heavily. He'll be definitely up there come by the end of Dally M's, bro. He could possibly be the first prop to win that award, man.
Ooh. Be a bit cool.
Would he be the first Samoan to win that award?
Dally M's.
I think so,
probably, yeah, actually.
I can't recall any, for that matter, Islanders. Oh, nah, Tuivasa-Sheck. Sorry, Roger.
Yeah, that'll be a good,
Speaking of Roger, bro, what about your Warriors next year, bro?
Man,
you got him
sorted.
You got him and you've got... Well, look at your spinals. You've got him. You've got the Maoli Martin, Te Maite Martin, to come in.
Yep.
And you've also got the also
Dylan Walker.
Wait for you. Harris,
CHT.
Who had a break. They signed him again. But I love this guy. McCaffrey, he's been doing for years, man.
That's why it was one of my selections, maybe.
So, I mean, that's going to be hard for...
Spoiler for choice can sometimes be a problem. Yeah. So it's not a... It's a good problem.
Two of us a shake. Came on this podcast.
I saw him with Jordan. No.
Back in.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. And I don't know if he was trying to be humble or not, saying, oh, he's coming across as a center. But, bro, if you're the coach, man, one-on-one with Nickel Clockstar, and I love this guy's, his heart and his, you know, he's always giving it a hundy. Mm. But, man, if you just compare the skills at fullback and the experience, fucking RTS is up there, man. He's well over him.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Look, I think because Chanel brings, Chance brings that effort. And so him and you've got to let them both on the field.
I know, but who'd be your fullback? You got to start with Roger at the back.
So I like really? Chanel. And maybe it's just been this year, but you look at Chance, like, just quite solid on D at the back. Like, nothing really gets through, and he's saved a lot. RTS does the same. You
pick him over Roger at fullback.
So, on D, and then when we play attack, so they might try and play, like, a two-way game.
And so You're on the fence, cuz.
No.
You're on the fence.
So, we need to be, like, a Joseph Manu and let Roger get the ball as much as he can, but from, a closer to the ruck kind of position.
But so where would you, what jersey would he be wearing?
RTS. I'm happy for him at centre.
Defending in the front line?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think he's safe for them.
Okay.
I like Chance at the back.
This is a Dally M winning fullback.
Oh, he's going to be a Dally M winning centre now.
I can't believe you're putting someone quality like Roger in the center.
Well, that's the thing. Charles. Like, I guess Roger's quality that you can just put him wherever you want.
He's a waste of that center, bro. Don't you think Pompey is better at center?
Hell no. I'm expecting Broncos to get desperate and pull Pompey into their team. When Mariner gets injured, Mariner's going to get injured, then they'll be like, man.
Well,
we need someone.
Resigned him, bro.
I know we did.
They resigned him.
But you guys will pay the exit. You guys will pay the exit clause. Nice, good call, Dalians, bro. Try July. We finished Try July, man. We haven't really talked about it throughout it, but man, what have you enjoyed? What are some of your highlights throughout the month?
So ones that stand out. The cricket one definitely stands out, Raiders, because that was a good one. Half the team involved in that one. And that one made worldwide news.
Right, because it was after the Ashes.
The Ashes and shit. I put that one in my top five. Tariva on the weekend. Fuck, he had a good one, bro. Did you see his one?
Oh, no, what did he come out of?
The Panthers, the Fiki.
Yeah.
So like, he scored the try. And then he got the ball and started doing the cover.
Oh, and he followed the cover of it.
I started doing the cover and I was drinking the ball. That was one of my favorites.
The girls have been good. They did the bowling. You see, they did the bowling.
They took it to the next level on the weekend, bro.
Hey. I saw they did like a locomotion.
Yeah, they all lined up. See, you know. Well, that one, this is a bit unfair because the girls can have a little fuck alo alo with that.
Yeah.
If the guys did that, they'll be on news. Yeah,
especially when your team's for Yainga and like still got your celebration. Like, come on, man.
Because it's a real Mimika thing to do. I think the boys get away with it now because it's for...
For the Dry July thing.
Yeah, it's for raising funds. And big ups to Daniel Anderson, bro. He's a part of that. He's getting part of that.
So it's a good cause, man. I didn't realize like how well they've done over the last few years. They did the Mossy Masoya one last year.
Yeah,
raised over like 200k.
There was one that Bully Waters scored, and he tried to do a little selfie with the ball.
Yeah,
but against Bulldogs, so he tried to do a little selfie with the ball, and then Rain Marty from Doggies.
Oh, pulled the ball.
Yeah,
but Angus did. Yeah, good.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'm gonna call it. I would say Katoni and Rhys Walsh, their backflips.
The bench.
Because ain't no one doing backflips. They just bar the backflip like nothing.
Oh, bro, just yeah, because like just
the athleticism. Yeah, yeah. Ezra Man did a funny one too, bro. He did the old score the try, pretend like he was hurt.
Yeah.
And then did the Seema afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, that cricket one and Tariva's, bro. But what about like if you go like all time? I still remember Fafili back in the days.
Coconut one. Yeah, yeah. That's why I thought like the Warriors missed the chance. Like they didn't really get into it. They did a few, but didn't really bring back any of the old school Warriors styles.
I think a lot of those players are still like getting used to scoring the tries this year.
Not used to this environment of celebrating and getting out of there.
But it is a good thing for them.
Man,
what about you?
I think for me, I'll probably take it right back to near the beginning. It was probably one of the ugliest worms I ever seen from Limuelu from the Dolphins. Remember early on they started doing the try July, and the man trying to do a worm.
What did he do?
He tried to do the worm, but he's like, just because he's massive. Yeah, like Tedesco did it like a few weeks ago. But yeah, he did it like, I was like, Sulu, that's the ugliest worm I ever seen. So yeah, I think, Limuelu gets it from way back then. Special mention to Philip Sami, bro. He's hot. So he's going good, man. When he did his Connor walk after his try.
Oh, yes. That's right.
But then he just looks fab. You see the one on the weekend, he just did like a fusu pose and then just started doing extra phases. Like, some of this guy's got no celebration, he just wants to try and anything. Yeah, and then he started doing extras. It's like, some of this guy just make it up. Like, please, just give it the money for charity. good cause. So I'm enjoying it. I like that we get to watch.
I hope the players keep going with it, man.
Even if you like when you're winning, get up. Like, why not? Like, yeah, it looks dumb to do that when it's Try July and you try and do a thing when you're losing. But yeah, when you're winning, get on top. Nice, Wolves. Hey, I wanted to quickly just looking at some of the games last week and just watching some of the movements of Rhys Walsh, but also Alofi Khan Pereira from Titans. Just the speedsters in the game. And I was just thinking, man, let's break down your top eight. Who gets those eight lanes
for a race?
Yeah, bro, for a race from 2023. Yeah, you used to do it. Yeah, I saw some old videos, man.
Man, they should bring it back. I remember...
Well, if these guys can do a flip mid-season, surely they're allowed to just have a race at the end of the season.
Do you remember that warrior Lee Odin Ryan?
Odin Ryan, the name rings a bell, but I can't.
This goes back. He was a speedster. He wasn't the best winger going around, but he had pace. I think he was. I don't know if he won it that year, but he was definitely.
Oh, and they were one of those races.
Oh no, I think there was a race. I think the most recent one was Jared Haynes.
That recent.
Greg Inglis. All these guys had a race, and it was like in the proper, like a track. And I forgot who won it. It wasn't a big name that won it, but anyway, bro. Sorry, also, I digress. But what are we talking about now? If we're talking about 8-lane, 100 meter races, you mentioned Rhys Walsh. He's got acceleration, but I don't know if he's got the top pace.
You reckon he's out and out all the way to the end
as well?
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. It looks impressive, similar to Man May, but they They cover ground, I'm sure.
Well, they'll definitely be leading that race in the first 30 meters, 20 meters. But I mean, some names that come automatic. Saab,
yep.
Saab will be up there.
Kola, yeah.
Kola's actually they were. They were talking about him as a junior state champ. So he'd be there.
Khan Brewer. He looks fast, man.
Tarivia from the, you gotta have a Fiki in there, man.
Yeah, Ravalawa and Sivo too big, bro. They the
man, yeah, these Fiki got natural pace.
No Maju in their main.
He's like a prop playing on the wing, yeah, bro. I don't know if he can foot it with these guys.
What about Sloan from the Dragons? Who are you going to get
foot? Oh, definitely Sloan. He'll be probably the fastest in that team.
But the Fox, yeah. Mate, the Fox still in the
make. Oh, sorry, bro. The Fox and the Hammer.
Hammer, shucks.
Hammer's dangerous, man. He's. How many is that, man? We got five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Got nine with Reese and Mam in there at the moment. Does Mam drop out?
Well, I'd have to get rid of Mam for surely. What about the Warriors, bro?
I'm just trying to think. Maybe Metcalf.
He should be faster than Mam.
Metcalf looks like our fastest at the moment.
Oh, then Watene is Wisniewski.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I can't tell with Watene. He just gets those good breaks. It's never like a proper one-on-one.
Top pace. He looks fast. Top pace.
Yeah, when he goes on an angle, eh? So.
Yeah. So you wouldn't have him in there?
Maybe I'd pull out Tarivia if I'm putting in Watene.
Really? Nah, Tarivia's faster than him, man.
You reckon?
I reckon so.
I'm trying to look at this list and see who... Watene beat?
I reckon Saab for me. It's fucking those long legs. If he was not injured, if he was fit and firing, you'd have to put Turbo in there as well.
Man, yeah, Turbo would have definitely been on this list if he wasn't injured.
But Kola definitely. I think for the Broncos, just by looking at him, the way he covers the ground, I think... Lappy's boy, Dean Mariner, yeah. Looks faster than...
They put him at centre, so I wonder. Maybe yeah. It's just because of the size that he looks faster. Just that sleek, yeah. And he's got a good...
But yeah, bro, that would be a good race, man. That would be a good race.
Yeah. Oh,
I'll put my money on Sark.
I was just thinking Paps isn't even in there because he's injured too.
Pax?
Pappenhausen.
Oh, definitely be in there if he was fit.
Yeah, if he was fit running.
I think he's not far off making his debut as well.
Yeah, that would be a good race, man.
Not debut, but you know what I mean? Return.
Yeah, return to form. Cool, us. All right, let's just jump into those games of the week. Well, what stood out for you from the last week?
I was impressed with the Knights, bro.
Oh.
The Knights are a little sneaky to make the eight. I was doing a little predictor.
Yeah.
I actually got them coming in at fifth force. I can see them winning majority of their later games. I think they've shown. Well, they definitely got the points in them, bro. I think they got. I think they're just showing a bit more starch on defense. And I think their spine's a good combo now with Gamble, and they got a good hooker there. The halfback there, good cooking game. So it allows Ponga to just run riot, bro, and score them points. So
yeah, what a time to have a run, man. Yeah, the Raiders
look. Yeah, that was impressive. The Storm, I knew they'd come out and. And win their game.
And impressively too. I wasn't sure about them, like just clicking. And that, you know, Stace talked about their spine being quality. But, man, against the Eels are in trouble.
Eels are in trouble, all right, bro. I've actually got them missing the eight.
Yeah,
man.
Where'd they end up in your ladder?
Because they got a rough
hard run.
They got a rough.
Yeah, they got a real hard run to the
road home. Broncos and Panthers are. I think they'll stay where they are. Also, Panthers had a pretty predictable win over the Sharks, who have got falling up.
Yeah.
You got the Sharks in there?
I got the Sharks falling at 11th by the end of the week, the season. Regular, yeah, man.
Yeah. So I got this is what I got, bro. I got Panthers first.
Yeah.
Broncos second. Warriors third. Storm fourth. So I've got that top four staying as is.
Yeah, I got the same.
And top then I got four. Knights, Raiders, Rabbitohs, Cowboys. So Sharks fall out for me, and who else is in there that falls out?
Eels fall out.
Eels fall out for me. I just think they got a bit too much of a tough road home, and I know that they might put far more on my face again because I called them. They made a little bit of a comeback recently, you know.
Yeah. Well, this I wasn't really convinced on their messy game they had against the Eels.
They got Dylan Brown quick fingers come back, but like I said, it's a tough road for them.
Yeah,
they've got some hard games.
And that's I think you really let the team down. Like it's been spoken about on other chats. I don't want to go on about it, but just real untimely, just because the origin period, you know, Mitch Moses did so good in the game two. It was hard not to pick him again. And I think Gutho being pulled in for his far more minutes that he got really just let the Eels down. Although the Warriors beat them in that second rate team they had, and that's when the Warriors got kind of on a good run. And the Eels, you know, without Dylan Brown, that made a big difference for their season that game.
Yeah. The Sea Eagles are over the hunt, and I think last time we were on, I told Roch that it was possible for them to make the eight, especially mathematically, but they have to win. They got to win one out of two games against top eight teams, and they got Warriors and Broncos that are top eight. I think the other three games are Panthers. Easy teams, but I don't see them winning either of those games. Warriors at home and Broncos at home. So this is going to be too much of a tough ask for them. Even though they're bringing it home strong and they're 10th at the moment, I just think that the Knights out of the teams, out of the eight at the moment, the Sharks will fall out for the Knights.
Yeah, I had a follow coming in the same eight, just a few different orders, but yeah, I think my predictor fell the same way. Just the Knights picking up a few more games. And then it looks like it must be just change of order because the teams in the top eight beating each other differently, looks like. But must be similar. The Eels, Sharks, and Manly all missing out. Man, it's going to be an interesting run, especially that that Broncos game this week. It's going to be a real tester for both of you guys and kind of really dictate what's going to happen. Sorry, man, this cat.
That's, I went off my heart on that one, bro.
Dictate what's going to happen, but I think speaks a lot to the mentality of the teams for the Broncos. It's, you know, just a team that's kind of on the ropes that you've got to beat, and they're kind of on the up. So, you know, you got to be up for it. You got to be ready. So I think that's the thing that's going to really maybe just shake a few people, doubters of the Broncos, to miss.
Well, looking at last week's game, I think that was the upset of the round when the Titans beat the Cowboys. So that's not going to do the Broncos any favours. It's a must-win game for the Cowboys. But for their run home of my predictor, I've got them losing that game but winning every other game, the Cowboys.
Well, the Cowboys? Is that their run home?
Yeah. So I've got them just sneaking into the eight. So it's a crucial game for the Cowboys, just to stay within reach because they're just clinging on to eighth spot and they don't have the best differential. Oh, 48, but, you know, the Knights have got plus 72. So, and the Sharks have got plus 70. So, for both teams, I think it's going to be high intensity match, man. It's going to be almost like semi-final level, bro. It's a good game for the Broncos to, I don't know, I've been happy with the way they've been winning games, but I still don't think they've put together an 80-minute performance, and come finals time, you need to play 80 minutes to really, you know, to be a team to beat. So I'm picking the Broncos, man, not by much, but you have to think Cowboys are favourites for that one, eh? Because it's over there, Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, looks like the game especially like a real disappointing game to have dropped.
Against the Titans.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show the Titans, bro, what they're capable of, man. That was pissing me off because I've backed them a lot this year, man.
Yeah, I had them just missing as well. So they end up on 26 points.
And it wasn't like the Cowboys played bad. The Titans, man, for a good 20 minutes, bro, the Cowboys just couldn't keep them out, man. Yeah, the Titans got decent attack. And they beat them without Tino as well, so.
Yeah, well, is Tino, I saw him again on the sidelines there. Was he injured?
Still out injured, bro. So they're back on 22 points. You'd have to think that even them winning all their games, it's going to be hard for them to make it in.
Yeah, exactly. Man, the Panthers just looking really good, eh? Like, just Cleary coming back and, I guess probably against the real struggling Sharks. But, man, they're looking the goods again.
Yeah. It's a hard game to judge, but Panthers were on top of their game, mm-hmm. bro. They just showed why they won the last 2 years. Yeah. Sharks didn't really offer anything on attack, but at the same time, the Panthers just shut them out. And the form of Cleary is going to put everyone on notice. The man just had all this time off, come back and just kick the hell out of that ball, man, and put the Sharks under pressure. Sharks lost their fullback early, so that wasn't a bit of help, but they're playing with a team under confidence, bro, and the Panthers are just, they're just doing enough. I think you can see them, like, slowly picking
just
up
building
their game.
Like, it's almost like they're, I guess after these two, because you think that the year before these two wins, they got to the final and they kind of learnt the lesson there. And then went on to win twice. And so now it's almost like they're just going through the motions of learning how to build a season, learning how to, you know, because you think, was it last year or the first year they won it? When they were on that ridiculous run of wins in a row, like trying to just get a record of, you know, just no losses. So they've kind of gone from that high to just being able to manage seasons. You know what the storm does.
They've really done well to get their game back to where it was last year. After taking a little while to figure out their game without Kurosawa and
Kikau. Yeah, Kikau was good back for the
he was a big out for them. But I think with the second rounds that they've got, they've just kind of managed to just still do enough to fucking. I was still a quote from Gus Gordia on one of his Channel 9 programs. I don't think they got too many points in them, Panthers. Mm. I don't think they're going to smash teams off the park in terms of their attack because they're very regimented, eh? They're quite Cleary and between Yale. They got almost like a system-like attack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they try and tire teams out. You know, bring guys inside,
Just an arm wrestle, battering you up.
Yeah, and just that's right.
Get you into that routine and then go wide. That's one thing I did pick up on, like, just over the last few weeks. And I don't know if it's an actual observation, but just the ability of the Broncos to break out a game anywhere in the field, I think that's the advantage.
Yeah, well, you look at that top eight. You look at Broncos, Warriors, Storm.
Yeah.
Even the Rabbitohs and the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
These guys got points in them.
Yeah.
These guys who, like, you know, three, four tries down, with 20 minutes to go, they won't be scared. You know,
they can find a way around the field.
Enough firepower to do it. It's the Panthers' defense that's separated them from the whole competition. Yeah. They give you nothing, man. Yeah. They give you nothing.
It's whether you can just will that storm, mate, to just keep battering on the door until. Because if you get turned off away enough times. Yeah, so it's real. I guess that's where they're talking about, like, the Warriors' resilience earlier in the year.
Yeah, like, so whatever team doing that
and holding on and not give up and then get scored against and then drop your head and then there goes the game. So it's like, how do you
withstand
these guys?
Yeah, if the Panthers are going to lose, it'll take a team to just play out of their skin, out of this world, bro. But like I said, there's plenty of teams who've got
points in them. Points over them
to score more points than them. They can they match Panthers on defense? Not at the moment. I think there's a clear light of day between Panthers defense and everyone else for the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Storm. So you touch on the Storm. So that should be a good game because that is their game this week. Possible preview of the first game of the final Friday night, man. Storm Panthers. So this will be a real good test. I think both teams probably don't talk about the table, but. Somewhere in the background, they've got that in the mind that this might be a preview of what they've got to look forward to in about a month's time.
Yeah, also, you look at that battle on the number 7. Like I said, I think Cleary's probably got the upper hand when it comes to navigating the team around, the kicking game. But Jerome Hughes' ball playing and his attack, when he's hitting the line, when he's taking it up to the line, his running game is... the best in business, man.
He's looking,
and so I think it comes down to the pack. If the Storm can give Harry Grant quick play of the balls, they're going to be dangerous. Between Harry Grant, Munster, and Jerome Hughes, bro, it's 50-50 between them. Yeah, and then,
I mean, you think when Nelson comes back too, bigger sofa, man, running through.
Yeah, I think they got the better spine. More points than them, but Can the Storm match their forwards? Can the Storm match on defense? You know, that's where it's at. And I think I mentioned it last time. They almost play like a Storm game a few years back. Yeah, you know, when Kronk and Slater was playing for them. Just really regimented.
Just
but,
smash on the front door for ages.
Yeah.
And when you get tired, you just let your...
that back three do a lot of work, bro. They do enough work so that Leota and
Because there's a lot of the
Harris
just running
and have fresh legs.
Yeah, yeah. So they're just banging guys on D and running hard, and then you know those guys will run those first few meters, give them a break.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, I might go out on them and pick an upset here, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Storm for the upset.
I think so. I think Storm. Especially for their season and to kind of give them that Storm confidence to run into a final. I think this is the kind of game that Bellamy targets for, you know. And I guess coaching-wise, it'll be interesting. You know, Bellamy's kind of, he's been bandied around, might want to move, might want to stay. So it's kind of one of those, has he stayed too long? I don't know.
Hey, Bellamy.
Yeah, you can't blame Bellamy for the way the team's gone, but man, it hasn't been the Storm of, hasn't been the usual Storm team. Like, yeah, they're still coming fourth, but man, that's not the Storm of seasons past. They're missing a lot from those the Bromwich brothers leaving. But yeah, again,
it just goes to show how good. The Panthers and the Broncos are this year, man. Well, those are really the only two teams above them that are consistently doing better. This year's is a really good comp this year.
We're
down to the last five rounds and the makeup of that outside the top four, it's still unknown, eh?
Yeah, it should be a really good, and I guess that, again, this is all assuming that the Warriors go on the run that they've had, so you look at the teams and it should be a straightforward, I guess as a long Warriors fan, you hope this isn't like where they start to rear the old Warriors' head and start going backwards and dropping a few games they shouldn't drop. And next thing you know, we drop out of the four. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, just these...
Oh, I think that I mentioned it last time, and you know, they also was trying to label me as a hater, but But I think the Warriors don't have enough of those games that's going to test them just at like finals footy. You know, they'll have a comfortable run in. So they have to play, they have to like not allow these bottom teams to drag them down to their
and
level.
I think that'll be the test, is like how they play those games, because it's easier to kind of come in with a mindset, want to do some stuff that you're going to learn from, and you just end up in an ugly game because you're just playing off some guys who are just falling on me, like what Roger said last week, and all of a sudden you're scrapping away, winning a real scrappy game, but learning nothing from it and being undercooked when we get to the final season.
So the only reason why I wouldn't put them as premiership contenders, because I kind of have only three in that category at the moment, though, Panthers, Broncos, and Storm, is that because the Warriors have only really won against Raiders and the Sharks in the top eight at the moment. They haven't produced a win against either of those three teams. Even the Rabbitohs. They haven't beat the Rabbitohs. So it's not enough evidence to suggest that they can beat those teams yet. You know?
Yeah, I take your point.
You don't agree?
No. I agree. I think, we haven't won against them. So, the history doesn't provide enough evidence to say that we should win. But I guess on form, like a lot of those teams, like the Storm, the Rabbits, form hasn't been where it should be. And saying that, though, the Panthers' form is red hot. Like, and I guess that's the thing. Like, looking again at the way the Panthers played last week, there are still gaps. And so they've still got stuff they can tidy up. I think that's the scary thing. Like, and, if you see them playing a perfect game, then you go, cool, that's the best they can get, and we still got some improvements. Whereas you see they've still got little things in their game they need to fix up as well. Yeah. So that's what's up.
Well, I was going to say, the Panthers and Broncos have a few teams that's worthy of an upset against them. And so if they drop some of these games, Panthers and the Broncos, it opens the door for the Warriors to be more in premierships. And that can happen if they win all their games.
And I think, that speaks more to, I guess, the evidence that your teams are showing as well don't give me evidence enough to say the Warriors can beat you guys, because you guys aren't
in those games either. Yeah, the reason why I mentioned that is that if the Warriors do become minor premiers, then they'll definitely, I'll be the first one to say that they can be premiership contenders, because the Warriors will two home games to start.
Back to back. Well, you get a rest.
They only need two home games. So if you finish first place, right?
We get the home game.
You got a home game first up.
And if we lose, you have get a home game again.
And you get another home game. And then you're straight into the prelim final. Mm-hmm. And anyone that makes the prelim final, you're a contender, because it only takes one game to get to the grand final.
But there's the thing, like, we'd still get two chances at home. Because if we came first, if we lost that, we still get the home against the bottom one that wins. I guess that's what's good. Like, the Warriors have had a bye. I think it's come at a good time. And they've got the game coming up this week, and I think it's a good test for them, trying to come off a bye, get back into the footy, try and put a plan in place. I think their bye came at the right time. Good to go into a bye with a win as well. And then the march home should be fairly straightforward, but off a hot Titans from last week, should be a win. 2 weeks ago, it should have been a win. No one expected the Titans to do what they did to the Cowboys last week. And like you said, the Cowboys weren't far off too. You know, it's not like they played a terrible game. This should be a really good one for the Warriors coming back in. And I think it's good that the Titans got up too, so that there's no excuse for the Warriors to go complacent either.
It's going to be awesome game. You know what the funny thing is? It's Titans winning is going to make it interesting, but it's outside of Mount Smart. It's the closest thing the Warriors have to a home game, bro, because Kiwis over here flock to that game. There's a lot of Kiwis over here.
And
it'll be close to sold out.
Yeah, I'm sure I could hear, like, Warriors chants at that ground. I was like, oh, shit.
Bro, it's close to sold out. So I'm picking the Warriors for that one. They can definitely win that one. Like I said, it's dangerous because Titans have nothing to lose.
Yeah, especially after the back of last week, too.
Well, that's a decent game, decent win against the Cowboys, who the last month has probably been the form team, eh? So I'm looking forward to that game, bro. If the Warriors can win and win handsomely, bro, then I'll be the first one to support them. Yeah,
yeah, it should be good. Still no Tino again, so Tino's out again, which is good. So they did well last week as well to win without Tino. But that should be a good one for the Warriors to get up against. And really just kick off their run home. I think I'm looking forward to that. I think they should be running strong in that. Nice, Wolf. Hey, I wanted to quickly jump into our... I don't want to, but we should talk about our NRL draft, mate. Our NRL draft.
Yes, let's do that, Wolf.
We are heading into the final week. I kind of got that wrong, man. But you are sitting pretty at the top of the ladder, mate. How's it feel?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I just want to start off by explaining to our listeners out there who aren't familiar, but this is for the Isaiah Kalava Memorial Cup. This is for Usul's Memorial Cup. Nice. And there's 10 of us this year. And we're nearing... this is the last game of the round, isn't it?
Yeah. So this doesn't run at the same rounds as the season regular for the NRL. It actually finishes a few weeks early. So this week coming is the actual last round. And the winner at the end of this week will be the minor premier. And then we move into a top six playoff. We've only got 10 in our pool.
That's right. So we end up playing 21 games with a couple of buys in there. And so far, coming into the last round, mate, the Vallee Bronx... yours truly's team are leading the way, bro. We're on first place with 13 wins, 6 losses. Mike J, God Squad won, second place. Sam won Mandingo.
Mandingo, mate.
Dubba's team's third place. Mate, this guy has been like really... and you know, if you look at his points scored, 11,313 points. It's quite down, bro. It's probably the fifth best point scored. But somehow he's managed to string enough eat-ass wins, old Mandingo. So he's sitting on third place, 12 wins, 7 losses. And Clutch City Officials rounding up the top four.
Man, Manly's got a team in the top.
Haven't really noticed them too much. Because out of a team of 10, it's almost like a mediocre record. He's got 10. He's 10 and 9. So he's... he's probably the best out of the shit teams, really. We've got Cameron Saw, Madden, All Madden at fifth, the Ike Guys, Danny at sixth, these nuts, Tanavellini at seventh. And I'll give you a little explanation after I round up the list to see what happened, because, bro, you're leading like after 5-6 rounds.
Yeah, I want to address that when we get to it, mate.
But you're at seventh, Golden Elites.
John Mitz.
It's probably been the disappointment of the season.
The build-up. Saw the way he was concentrating when he came to the...
this year or next, the name of Stacey's team, they're running at
ninth.
That's
a shock of ninth. And, he's a much better player than that to be sitting at ninth, so I'm not sure what
happened. Mate, and last year was quite active. I just think he hasn't bothered opening up his account.
I think the injury during the wise guy's season really set him back.
But I can't see too many changes in his team.
No surprises there, pulling up the back end of the comp.
The ultimate Sea Eagles, managed by the one and only Roger for a 12-hour, 6 wins, 13 losses. He's going to take out the Spoonie Lau. Did he take it last year as well?
Yes, I think you get a special Spoonie Lau when you got 2, mate.
2 years in a row. Exactly. So,
He's the Tigers of this comp, mate.
I think his problem there, he's like just keeps picking the Manly team, bro.
He stacks his team with Manly, like
what players
comes to the bye and then he's called by.
Yeah, so I mean, in this competition, you have to be active, bro. You gotta every week make changes to your team if required. And Roger, it's just like his opinions, bro. He's not willing to do the homework. He just talks bullshit. So he hasn't done the homework and it showed.
Yeah. So in terms of homework, man, I really struggled with these getting these picks in, the timing. So yeah, I think the bye weeks killed me. And just doing my preparation for the podcast kind of overlapped with the cutout of these lockout.
All right.
And that really killed me a couple of weeks. I had Sean Johnson on the bench scoring 90 points, not attributing to my score. So a lot of these losses, like, man. I
think you've lost 10 games in a row.
Possibly. This only goes back as far as 5 games, though. And yeah, this shows my last five. I'm 0-5 over the last 5 games.
Yeah.
So it's a real poor run with a really good roster too. Yeah, I did a dumb thing though yesterday because I thought so. I could have possibly had one chance to come into the 8, the 6.
What have you done, mate?
I threw my toys, man, and I shouldn't do that. So maybe apologies, boys. Apologies to the rest of the Memorial Cup because I threw my toys and did a sale.
I hope the boys are listening. But I have it here, bro, and you've been quite – you and Golden Lees and I guys have some shit going on that it's like, it's got to be some kind of investigation going on here, bro. But you've let go of a lot of fucking players, bro. You've given – you gave our guys Nofoluma. You've given him Latrell Mitchell. You've given him Ravalawa. You gave God Squad Cody Walker.
Oh, everyone got the message. Did you see the sale sign go up? You see the for sale sign? Imagine this. On? Imagine if they did this. Imagine in the NRL, if at the last round, they go, oh, look, your teams aren't going to make the 8. You guys want to bring any players to Bronx? Who would you pick up? So if you needed to strengthen your team and you're like, oh, we just need a couple players here to finish the season, who would you buy out of the other NRL teams if you could?
Well, if I knew you were going to fucking...
put up the first sale sign. Nah, I'll just... Yeah, but Stacey made a good point. So, yeah, sorry, boys. I won't do that next year because it gives an unfair advantage to those in the final.
Clint Gutherson?
Yeah, this guy might have a good run from 6 to...
You fucked up
That's all right. He's coming last.
Authenticity of the competition.
Our guys is coming last, man. It's like a...
But... You know, I look at the iGuys team and I was like, yeah, that's all right. You know, it's not going to do much against the top 2-3 teams, bro.
Exactly. So imagine if you could do this at the NRL comp. Like we're saying, that top 4 is the top 4. Imagine at this part, like they had like a trade window where it's just like for the last 10 games
and you just do a trade window. The Johnson. He's got Johnson.
Why, who did he have before? He had... he had Townsend.
I think he had, didn't he have Cody Walker?
Oh, did he have Cody Walker? Oh, that's all right. It's not a, it's pretty fair trade then.
I might be lying.
Cody for Sean Johnson.
But anyway, bro, it's basically, me or Mike, bro. Me and Chitty, who's going to win it. So stay tuned, listeners. Stay tuned.
Oh, well, yeah, you're first anyway. So, yeah, minor premiere if you win this week. But, yeah, I guess either way, I think if Mike beats me, you still win, as long as you win or no?
We're on the same amount of wins. So
win's a win.
I've got to win, to be sure.
Okay, so as long as you win, you're sweet.
Well, we're both on the same amount of wins. I've got them by 200 points in the points differential. So if we both win... And he goes on a magic fucking scores 800 points and you score 400, then I'm in trouble.
Who's he got? Barnett. Who's he got running as captain?
Yeah, mate, I'm confident, mate. It's in the bag. So, Cameron Shusto, just keep hold of my 100 bucks there, mate. Wait till I come home.
Nice, Us. All right, bro. Cool, man. Let's wrap it out. Let's have a look at this draw for next week and see what you're liking and... Let's go down to the TAB tomorrow. Place this bet. All right. Tomorrow night, we kick off with Manly and the Roosters. How you seeing that, Ulf?
I'm going to say Manly, bro. Manly, I'm going to be hungry for the win. Roosters still look clunky, bro. Manly, close one for me.
Yeah, that's what I had on my predictor too. Nice, bro. Yeah, Seabus, you already called this. Warriors at Seabus Stadium over the Titans. Panthers Storm. Is this the one you tipped the Storm, was it?
I tipped the Storm, not confidently, bro. I don't know. Can I just be a changes guy? And because I just I've seen it's that blue
you
bits
did a thing. Lot of convincing in your build up to this, mate. Is
I did because the Panthers have been just too perfect. I think they're due, but it's at Blue Bet Stadium on a Friday night. So I'm going to swing back Panthers for the win on that one.
Changes. What about this, mate? 5 o'clock game should be a good running game as long as it's dry over in North Queensland, mate. Cowboys and the Bronx, man, is a. I don't think it's a. It makes a difference in the eight, but I think it's a really important game to, kind of, you know, gauge where you're at.
Big thing for me is so we're talking about it earlier, but I'm not too sure if Val Holmes has beaten his suspension. Yes. But without him, well, we're just gonna presume he's not available because that was a head eye shot. I'm gonna say Broncos, bro, in a close one.
Nice.
Too much class.
Yeah, that's probably a good call, actually. All right. Dolphins, nice. Knights on a run, man. How did you think the Dolphins went last week? They looked all right, though. So
that's at Perth as well.
That was a tight game again. Man, that Dolphins game. You reckon there's a forward pass? That was a big call. That Dolphins last pass, man. That was a bit of
But not only that, man, it's only, I think, I've seen Isako
nail that, yeah.
Clutch kicks, bro. And it was like, man, under pressure.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was thinking of him like in the Bronx colors. I've seen him pull off those
clutch kicks.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, this guy, a piece of cake. And then, cakes.
And he's the leading, point scorer in the comp, I think.
Again, that game was just the way the Dolphins came back with those late tries. Like, Serrato has to be, like, as the defensive coach, to just see those lapses, possibly losing a game that you should have had. Man, that's alarming.
Dolphins done that to a lot of teams, though.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one at Perth. I don't know whose home game that is, but I'm going to say because the Knights are still in the hunt, they're going to be a bit more hungry. Plus, they got form on their side, so Knights. Knights, comfortable winners.
Ooh, nice. Okay, comfortable. Yeah, Sharks, Rabbits, you seeing anything in the Sharks that gives you hope, mate?
So, look, this looks like it is a double header, bro. Double header in Perth.
Oh, okay, yeah. You're right. Saturday night.
I think Rabbitohs, this is going to be a high quality game. I think Sharks, very disappointing in the last month or so.
Kennedy out as well, I think.
I like to think they're going to come back, but I think the Rabbitohs will be too strong because they got both teams got a lot to play for, but Rabbitohs probably just a bit too much firepower, especially with Latrell back.
Yeah, Will Kennedy out too is a big blow.
Yeah, they're too big out, man.
The Sharks, so yeah, I think so. Rabbits as well. Eels, Dragons.
Do you think Eels are out? They're done, eh? Are they cooked?
Just there, Joe Run and yeah, like I said, man, I feel sorry because Dylan Brown's going to be. So a lot weighs on his shoulders for how they've kind of ended up in this position. But, yeah, I don't see them. I think they'll win this game. But, yeah, like just the rest
of the game. Yeah, without the Ballon as well. Dragons were really impressive in their their last game. But the Eels, another one of those teams, still in with a sniff. So they'll be up for this game, bro. Eels for the win.
Yeah. I think it'll be a good one for Dylan Brown to kind of stamp his return on. And, hopefully maybe do something miraculous with the team on their run home. Rounding out the week, man, the last game of this week, Raiders. Real disappointing last week. Coming up against the Tigers. Tigers again. Strong showing, just can't finish a game.
Yeah, they played good, eh? They've got potential, man. They got potential. They just haven't done it for 80 minutes. Also,
I just feel sorry for Ari Upti, man. Like, he just gives us all. Like, I think that's
he's been playing awesome too of late.
Yeah.
But hey, in saying that, Raiders deserve to be favorites. They're in the top eight, so Raiders easy win for me down there in Canberra on a Sunday, Ave.
Yeah, and Raiders again, like on the predictor, they got they got their run, like going quietly again. No one really saying much, but they, on my predictor, they end up sixth. So the Rabbitohs,
just do enough to get there.
Yeah, Raiders could do, you know, just the Raiders again and kind of quietly win that first round, come through and shake up whoever has to go to that second week of the top four. So, well, Raiders still in with a sniff. Karolo, Tui, mate, still there. Nice horse. Shaky. That's us, man. Anything else? Any shout-outs, horse?
No, bro. Just... once again, happy birthday to my my beautiful daughter yesterday. Yeah, and
happy birthday, Everly.
Bro, I don't know about next week. I might have a break, bro, because you're over in the Fiji, man. So enjoy your holiday,
also. Yeah, cheers, also. We'll see. I get back Tuesday night.
Yep.
I'll probably have a quick scan of the
games. Watching some games over there.
Yeah, we'll see. I might look like that old guy. Everyone's on holiday doing jet skis and I'm trying to watch the game in the bar.
Nah, have a good holiday.
Take yours. Nice rap, bro. Yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in. Check us out on wheresnet.com. Skirt Warriors. Cheers, boys. Cheers. Shout out.